Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you for joining us for live paranormal radio. From the paranormal to the unexplained, it all happens here.
It all happens here.
Looking to enhance your radio experience? Participate in our live video chat 24/7 with our live paranormal radio show host and other like-minded people. Live. Paranormal.com, the only interactive social chat room supported by Full Interaction Media. Stop by now and join the fun.
Stop by now and join the fun.
Hi, this is Dana Workman from Haunted Highway on Sci-Fi, and you're listening to the Ghost Host. Sophia Temporelli on LiveParanormal.com. Boom.
This is Bill Murphy of Sci-Fi Channel's Fact or Fake Paranormal Files, and you're listening to the Ghost Host, Sophia Temporelli, on LiveParanormal.com.
Hi, this is paranormal investigator and empath Don Staggs, and you're listening to the Ghost Host, Sophia Temporelli, on LiveParanormal.com.
Intuitive and remote viewer Harvey Althaus, and I want to wish the ghost host Sophia Temporelli congratulations on 7 years of broadcasting on LiveParanormal.com. Way to go, Sophia. You rock.
This is True TV's haunting evidence investigator Patrick Burns.
And ghost huntress author Marley Gibson.
And you're listening to Ghost Host Sophia Temporelli.
Hey everybody, this is Rex Williams, the medic from Destination Truth, and you're listening to the Ghost Host, Sophia, on LiveParanormal.com.
Hi, this is Jeff Belanger, host of 30-odd Minutes, founder of GhostVillage.com, and author of lots of your favorite paranormal books, and you're listening to the Ghost Host, Sophia, on LiveParanormal.com. Boo!
This is Nick Groff, executive producer of Ghost Adventures, the original documentary in Ghost Adventures, season 1 through 10, and executive producer of Ghost Stalkers, author of Chasing Spirits, the building of the Ghost Adventures crew, and founder of NickGroffTours.com. You are listening to the Ghost Host, Sophia Temporelli, on LiveParanormal.com. Tune in.
Hey, this is Zach Bagans from Ghost Adventures, and you are listening to the Ghost Host, Sophia Temporelli, on LiveParanormal.com.
Congratulations to the Ghost Host, Sophia Temporelli, for celebrating 7 years of broadcasting on LiveParanormal.com.
It's the Ghost Host Show with Sophia Temporelli on LiveParanormal.com. I'm John Temporelli, co-author and editor of Heaven Can You Hear Me? By the late famed Fox sighting psychic and legendary paranormal researcher Peter James. And yes, this is hands down the world's most unique paranormal broadcast, where 19-year-old Sophia Temporelli broadcasts each and every week and discusses all the latest haunt topics with all the paranormal field experts themselves. And today is no exception. I want to start off thanking Rob Sarek, the site founder of Live Paranormal, for providing this format each and every week, and to all of our moderators. Thank you guys so much for all of your dedication over the years and getting some of our guests into the chat room and live on air. And everybody, feel free to jump into the LiveParanormal.com chat room. It only takes a second to sign in, get yourself an avatar, and you're part of the LP family. Feel free to call into the show, 619-639-4606. That's 619-639-4606. And today we have intuitive medium, paranormal researcher, and ghost spirit, grieving author Rob Gutro will be on the program. And everyone, visit robgutro.com. That's G-U-T-R-O. So robgutro.com, petspirits.com, Facebook, Rob Gutro, author medium, Twitter at Ghost Medium Book, that's at Ghost Medium Book, and on YouTube by search, Rob Gutro Author, and Amazon Book by search, Rob Gutro, for all of his titles. Upcoming next Saturday, we have inventor of the God Box, the Orion device, and the DCT sensor creator, Jeff Boatwright, will be on the program. That's going to be the 10th of November, next Saturday. And also to haunted historic colonial Williamsburg, Virginia author Tim Skullion will be announcing, and he's going to be issuing his book Part 2 of Haunted Historic Colonial Williamsburg, Virginia. It's a photo book by Schiffer Publishing, and he'll be telling us all about it on the 17th of this month. So you don't want to miss any of these upcoming shows. Like liveparanormal.com on Facebook group page, and also liveparanormal.com, the membership packages, they start as low as $2.99 a month. Rob Sirk, the site founder, he's great at rewarding the audience here who support the membership packages. So a lot of books by some of your favorite paranormal authors, completely autographed, things of that type. He's great at rewarding you guys. Also, to support the vendors here on liveparanormal.com. And as well, like the Ghost Host Sophia Temporelli Facebook fan page to learn about the guests as we learn of them real time as well, too. We have a lot of people that are securing their dates right now, too, as well. Tonight on Live Paranormal, starting at 7 p.m. Eastern, Beyond the Screen and Ghost Light Radio, as well as monthly Mondays right here. Chip Coffee of A&E's Paranormal State and Psychic Kids, Ben Hansen, Amy Goodwin, David M. Roundtree, Stefan Brigatti, Andy and Michelle Kopic, Ken Gearhard, and many more right here on liveparanormal.com and History FM. If you miss anything, archive shows, they're available as free MP3 iTunes downloads on the homepage of liveparanormal.com and History FM. We're bringing in the host, the ghost host, Sophia Temporelli. Sophia, you there?
Hello.
Hi, Sophia. Congratulations. 7 years of broadcasting. You're doing a fantastic job. Everybody loves your show. You got a lot of new, also, too, with a 3.0 upgrade here on LP. You got a lot of FM and AM listeners that Rob has added. So you have a lot of terrestrial radio audience members now. So congratulations, Sophia.
Thank you. Yeah, it's been an amazing time on the radio. I can't wait to see what the future holds with it.
Yeah, and also, too, the Brookdale Lodge video, a lot of great feedback from that, by the way. I know we had some audio issues last week on the show, got it all edited and everything, but it's on YouTube. It's the Brookdale Lodge interview that you did with Don Phillips, the UK filmmaker, and as well Mary Porter and Timothy Lowe. I mean, they were sending their accolades, too, as well, and you got the open invite to the Brookdale Lodge. It's really cool.
Yeah, it was such a fun show, and I can't thank them enough for coming on. It was great talking to them and hearing all of their stories.
Yeah, fantastic job. So you got the Instagram, you got all these little social media things, you got all this stuff that, going on there. Where can people find you?
So I'm on Instagram at Sophia Temporelli and Twitter at Sophia Temporelli with one L.
Right, you have to have one L because we got a really long last name. So, you know, just drop an L basically on all the different social media sites to get in touch with Sophia and find out all the updates and all the current postings of videos and things of that type will be there as well. So tell us about our guest today, Sophia.
Today we have on intuitive medium, paranormal researcher, and ghost/pet spirit grieving author Rob Guttrow. He will be on air live today. Everyone visit robguttrow.com, petspirits.com, Facebook, Rob Guttrow Author Medium, Twitter, at Ghost Medium Book, YouTube, Rob Guttrow Author, Amazon Book Search, Rob Guttrow. Let's bring him into the show.
All right, Sophia. Rob, are you there? Hey, thanks for coming on.
I'm here. Good afternoon. Good evening. How are you?
Great.
Hey,
thanks,
we're
Rob.
Good. Thank you so much for coming on today.
Well, thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
So, Rob, regarding the immediate news, tell us how the sold-out event went this Halloween afternoon at the Strathmore Mansion promoting your book, Ghosts of England on a Medium's Vacation.
I had a lot of fun at the Strathmore Mansion is an historic mansion outside of the Washington, D.C. area. And they're also it's coupled with a concert venue. There's actually a concert hall next to it. So, but I gave a talk in the historic part of the mansion, and it was a Halloween tea. So I told some stories from my latest book about my encounters with the Ghosts of England when I went on vacation there. And it went very
well.
Well,
definitely very cool. How did that all come about to, you know, initially secure the location and everything for the event?
Actually, you know, it's all about networking, and it was a friend of a friend who happens to work there as a volunteer, and they told the Strathmore that I am a medium and a paranormal investigator, and that I've written 5 books. So they met me, invited me out, and I've actually given quite a number of talks there.
Wow. Well, that's very awesome. And can you tell us what we can expect from your book, Lessons Learned from Talking to the Dead, available in paperback and ebook on Amazon.com?
The Lessons Learned book was my second book of the 5, and I actually wrote it as a question and answer guide to all things paranormal. So any questions people may have about the paranormal, from what happens after our physical body dies to what happens on the other side, how all the different ways that people communicate, whether it be physical signs or audible signs or leading us to people or that look like them, or quite a number of different topics that I cover in that. And then I give examples like personal stories and encounters that I've had that back up all of those different ways. So it's really to help people understand how spirits and ghosts mm-hmm. communicate. And I also just make a distinction between the two. Ghosts are earthbound, and spirits are the ones who have crossed over.
Definitely. That's so cool that you're able to kind of tell the difference between that, because, you know, a lot of people just kind of refer to them as both a ghost or a spirit. So it's great that you're able to kind of explain the difference.
Right.
Yeah, I find it's very important. It's because ghosts choose to stay earthbound at a fixed location for a number of reasons.
Mm-hmm.
And spirits who cross over have the ability to show up anywhere, anytime, and help their loved ones out. I've written in my books some encounters that I've had with spirits of my loved ones when I've been on vacation in different parts of the world. And everybody's mm-hmm. loved ones can help them.
And, you know, speaking of loved ones, I know you have also written books on pets and the afterlife. Can you tell us how you kind of discovered you had an ability being able to communicate with pets and what the books are about?
Sure. Back when I was a teenager, I discovered that I had the ability to communicate with people who passed. And mm-hmm. my grandfather appeared to me for the first time when I was 13. And it scared the life out of me. But in 2005, I had a puppy named Buzz who was tragically killed by a car when I was out walking him. And yeah, it was an awful experience, of course. But he became the world's best canine communicator from spirit. And he basically mm-hmm. showed me all the ways that pets can communicate from the other side. So he inspired me to write a book, and I've written 2 about pets in the afterlife, writing my 3rd one right now.
Wow.
Well, that's amazing that he was able to help you after such a tragic incident. And for those who don't possess an ability, you know, to be able to communicate with the pets, is there anything that we should look out for in our pets to kind of tell how they're feeling?
You mean the living pets or the
any signs or people that don't have an ability? Is there any signs or anything we can intuitively, just as a lay person, tell about our pets?
Are there any signs from our living pets? I'm sorry.
Yeah, if we don't have an ability like yours, is there something that we can kind of I know that you've indicated that there's things that we can all do even without an ability to
sure.
relate to our pets?
Yeah, there are a number of ways that we can recognize signs from our pets. I've addressed a number of these in the book. Number one, we pets and spirits can give us physical signs. They can actually move things. They can make noises. People have heard nails on the floor, barks or meows from different parts of the house. They can also lead us to a pet that looks like them to help us understand that they are still with us. That's very common. So there are things like that within both books, The Pets in the Afterlife, Pets in the Afterlife 2, that I write about that that will help people understand what signs to look for so that they will stop grieving as much as they have.
Definitely. And, you know, it's so amazing how intuitive pets can be in their own regards. I know in my own haunted house that we used to live in, my dog Lucy actually used to be able to see the ghost and, you know, in her own way would communicate that to us through, you know, barking in certain areas of the home and stuff. So it's really amazing how they can still help even though they can't actually talk.
Sure. And that's the other part. Well, in terms of living pets have the ability to hear and see both ghosts and spirits. And there's a physiological reason for that. And the reason is that dogs and cats have different cones and rods in their eyes. Cones and rods make up our eyes. And the cones and rods that dogs and cats have enable them to see faster movement. As a paranormal investigator, we use high-speed cameras to capture the movement of ghosts or spirits. But dogs and cats can actually see them because spirits move at a higher vibration.
Wow.
And if you think of a dog whistle, you know, we can't hear a dog whistle. It's at a different frequency that humans can hear, but dogs can hear it, cats can hear it. Spirits communicate on higher and lower frequencies that the human ear can hear normally. So that's why dogs and cats can also hear ghosts and spirits. It's pretty amazing.
Right.
Yeah, it's definitely so amazing, you know, because we didn't expect to get any confirmation from our dog Lucy, and so to actually be able to kind of have that in addition to what we were feeling, it really kind of proved that there was something there. So she was definitely able to help out in that situation.
And we have I've actually taken my current dog, one of my current dogs, we have four dogs, one of my current dogs on a paranormal investigation, and I wrote about that in my first Pets in the Afterlife book. That our dog Dolly, who is also a Weimaraner, like Buzz was, Dolly had actually helped solve the mystery of who it turned out to be a spirit, not a ghost, was in a home that we investigated. And it turned out to be the family dog who had passed 6 months before.
Oh, wow. Huh. Yeah, I've definitely had an experience similar to that in our old house, which was haunted. After our dog passed away, I actually saw him. My room was being redone, and I was walking down the hall and I actually saw him just standing in the hallway. So it's amazing how they stay around afterwards to kind of, you know, help and see what's going on still.
They do. And this particular dog that remained with the family, probably like your family dog who passed, felt like they had a job to do, which was to protect the family. And they come back from time to time to do that.
Yeah, definitely. It was so surreal to see him because I was just going to my room to go see what had been done to it while I was at school that day. And there he was. So it was kind of comforting to see if he was still there checking everything out. I know that you also do volunteer work with rescues within the area. Can you tell us how you're able to use your abilities to kind of help with the rehabilitation?
Well, I actually, what I do with rescues is I do transports of dogs from one place to foster homes, from shelters to foster homes, and we foster dogs ourselves, and I do home inspections and so forth for rescues. So my ability as a medium really doesn't come into play with the rescue work I do, but
But what I have been doing is I've been going to animal rescues up and down the East Coast of the U.S. lately and giving talks about how pets communicate from the other side and doing fundraisers for the shelters and the rescues so they can raise money to feed and house the pets until they get adopted. So, I've been working in rescue for about 10 years.
That is definitely such amazing work you do, and thank you for helping out all of the animals in need.
Sure.
I know that... Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say that, animals rely on humans to take care of them, the domesticated animals. And we really have to do our part to ensure that they remain healthy and... they're cared for. Working in dog rescue, I have seen a lot of unhealthy dogs come into the rescues and so forth. So it's really important that people learn to take care of their animals. And if they can't, contact a rescue, and a rescue will take the animal and rehome the animal for them.
Definitely. And I know besides all of your rehabilitation work you do, you also, as we talked about earlier, do events. Can you tell us about your upcoming November 13th event in which you are lecturing at the Belmont Manor in Elkridge, Maryland? And two, what were the reported hauntings at the manor?
Sure. I do a lot of talks at the historic Belmont Manor near the Baltimore area of Baltimore, Washington, D.C. area. Some talks I will be giving in the near future include how mediumship works, talk about the local ghosts that haunt the Belmont Manor, and I also give my Pets in the Afterlife talk there too as well. So people can find out all the different ways that pets communicate. By the way, one thing I just want to interject is that there are quite a few ways that pets communicate from the other side, and I wanted to ask you both if you have ever dreamt of a pet that passed, because that's one of the most common ways for a pet to communicate with you from the other side.
Yes.
I believe my dad has.
Mentioning the other day that it was about 3 weeks ago, maybe a month ago, that I just felt like we were back in our old residence, and it was weird. It was like I walked in there and they were both, our old senior dogs had passed away, were just like waiting, and they walked over towards the back door. I let them go out back and they just ran out back and were jumping up and down, and it was like they were waiting for us to come right back in the door. It was weird.
So know that they were trying to show you that they were happy and content on the other side, and that is exactly what you really need to know here. And they will, like they gave you the impression, they will be waiting for you when it's your time. Our pets are always waiting for us on the other side when our time is up here. So that's one thing we can really look forward to.
Wow. And also,
yeah,
there was there was a throw toy that we had after our one senior dog died, and he had bone cancer, but he didn't know it, so, like, he lost a lot of weight, but he still wanted to chase his toy. And so, like, at night in the backyard, I noticed even after he passed away that, like, for a couple weeks after, that toy kept moving from where I would throw it to the back end of the yard. And, you know, we'd come out in the morning, it'd be at the back end of the yard rather than where I had it set down. So I brought it back over to where I'd start to throw it, and then it ended up back in the back of the yard again. That was weird. So,
yeah, that sounds like a sign, like he was still playing from the other side.
Wow.
That's pretty incredible.
Short hair pointer. So he's very, very active.
Like your Weimaraner.
Yes. Yeah. Definitely. Definitely very active. So dreaming, you know, for people who are grieving that are listening to the program, dreaming is the easiest way for which they can get a message that their pet is fine on the other side. And sometimes they'll actually see one of their relatives on the other side with their pet. What happens after our pets pass is that usually they, as they go into the light, there's always a relative of ours waiting to help them cross over.
Mm-hmm.
So, and if it's not a person, it could be a previous pet on the other side that is helping them cross over.
Wow.
So it's very rare that a pet will stay behind. It's very rare that there'll be a ghost cat or ghost dog. I only encountered two in all of my paranormal investigating, and one was in an historic home, now a museum in England, where I encountered a ghost dog, and the other was on a paranormal investigation here in Maryland, where I encountered a cat.
It's really amazing, you know, there are so many ghosts, but you do rarely see ghosts of pets. I know there's a mission around where I live, and it has sightings of a ghost dog, but typically you don't actually see or hear of stories like that.
Yeah, you will see, there have been more reports, I think, of more wild animals. That continue to roam as ghosts than domesticated ones, and the reason for that is that because there are people on the other side, the people that are related to us will help them cross our domesticated pets, but non-domesticated pets, wild animals, have to rely on their wild siblings or relatives from the other side to come get them.
Or territorial.
And sometimes that doesn't happen.
Yeah.
That's true.
Right.
I know we have to take a quick commercial break, but we'll be right back with more questions.
Yeah, it's the Ghost Host Show with Sophia Temporelli on liveparanormal.com. And I got to thank Rob, too. I've had a question for a long time. When I co-authored Peter James' book, and he wanted all references to spirits taken out and just using the word ghost. And it was going to make it difficult for me to co-author his book and just use one type of wording. But that really defined spirits are the ones that have crossed over, and ghosts are the ones that were here with us. And of course, Peter James did talk to ghosts. So that answered a big lifelong question for me. It's the Ghost Host Show with Sophia Temporelli on liveparanormal.com. Feel free to call in 619-639-4606. That's 619-639-4606. Today we have intuitive medium, paranormal researcher, ghost spirit, and grieving author Rob Gutro on the program. Everyone visit robgutro.com. That's robgutro.com, petspirits.com, and Twitter at Ghost Medium Book. That's at Ghost Medium Book. You can find Rob Gutro on YouTube as Rob Gutro Author, Amazon Book Search, Rob Gutro, and a lot of great video, too, there of Rob on YouTube. So Rob Gutro Author on YouTube. It's the Ghost Host Show. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Dustin Perry, the paranormal rock star, and you're listening to The Ghost Host with the most, Sophia Temporelli, only on liveparanormal.com.
Hey, this is Rick Hayes, the psychic medium, life consultant, author, and lecturer, and you're listening to The Ghost Host, Sophia Temporelli, on liveparanormal.com. Believe.
Thank you for joining us on History FM Radio on liveparanormal.com and history.fm. From paranormal to the unexplained history, it all happens here. Looking to enhance your radio experience? Participate in live interactive chat 24/7 with our radio show hosts and other like-minded people on www.liveparanormal.com, the only interactive social chat room supported by full interactive media. Stop by now and join in on the fun.
this is Zach Bagans from Ghost Adventures, and you are listening to the ghost host, Sophia Temporilli, on LiveParanormal.com.
This is Christopher Sanders with my ghost story on Biography. You are listening to The Ghost Host with Sophia Temporilli, weekly 12 p.m. to 2 p.m. on LiveParanormal.com.
Hi, this is Professor Lloyd Auerbach, parapsychologist, and you're listening to The Ghost Host with Sophia Temporilli on LiveParanormal.com.
This is author Alexandra Holzer, and you're listening to Ghost Host Sophia Temporilli.
It's the Ghost Host Show with Sophia Temporilli on LiveParanormal.com. Everyone, visit robgutro.com. That's robgutro.com. Also, to petspirits.com. On YouTube, Rob Gutro Author. On Twitter, at Medium Book. That's at Ghost Medium Book. I'm unmuting everybody right now as we speak. Rob, is there anything, as you're talking to Sophia, are you gathering anything on Sophia's direction or anything regarding her or any of her four dogs?
Am I gathering anything? Well, no, other than the fact that they're all surrounding her. But normally, the way that I channel spirit is that I usually ask people to send me an email with a picture and a name of their pet and any question, and then I'll be happy to try and tune in. I usually have to have kind of quiet and a meditative time in order to tune in. So that's why I don't do live shows. I don't charge for readings. I don't do, you know, readings and so forth. But I do them when, you know, I'm in a kind of a quiet area. I tend to get a lot of messages when I'm like driving or sitting in front of a computer or taking a shower. I always joke that my shower is very crowded because I get a lot of messages from people and pets. Mm-hmm. So,
or car rides. Or...
Yes. Yes. Yeah. There's a lot of pets that can be car rides. So there's a number of other ways that pets communicate with us yet touched on.
Mm-hmm.
I think, Sophia, you mentioned that you visibly saw one of your dogs.
Yeah, I did.
After they passed? Okay. That's pretty rare. I know a lot of people that I get emails from ask a lot to see their dog appear, but it takes a lot of energy.
Mm-hmm.
The bottom line is that it's all about energy, because what happens after we pass is that – and this addresses your earlier note, Jim, is that after we pass, the energy within us couples with our memories and our personality and our knowledge, and we make a choice to stay here as a ghost or we cross over as a spirit. And that energy, knowledge, memories, and personality is basically what a soul is. So, and every living thing has a soul. One of the questions that I get sometimes that makes me crazy is that pets have no souls and therefore they can't cross over, and that's ridiculous. So every living thing has a soul, and it's all about energy. So it takes energy for these ghosts and spirits to manifest. Think of a ghost or a spirit as a light bulb that doesn't have electricity coming through it. When we supply energy, like heat, light, water, electricity, or love, which is a positive emotional energy for spirit, or fear, anxiety, or depression for an earthbound ghost, that enables them to get strong enough to power up to give us a message. So
right.
It's really all about energy on the other side.
Definitely. Right. And yeah, it was a very amazing experience to actually be able to see my dog. I didn't expect it. I was just walking to my room. I mean, I hadn't even thought of him in that moment. So it wasn't like, you know, I was just kind of dreaming it or something, or kind of like imagining it. I mean, like, he was really there, because there was no reason for me to think that at that moment in time.
And one thing that I find that's very common is that both pets and people in spirit will appear to us around birthdays, anniversaries, or holidays. And the reason for mm-hmm. that is that the living, as living people, we normally contact each other on birthdays, anniversaries, and holidays. And our pets can actually, they can understand our change in energy level around those very times, because we usually, our energy is a little more elevated and we're more excitable on birthdays, anniversaries, and holidays. So pets will come back and communicate with us on those times. And it could be the anniversary of their adoption or the anniversary of their passing, or their birthday or your birthday or something like that. So those are the times to be the most vigilant for a communication from a pet. One of the other interesting things that pets can do from spirit, just like people, is that they can manipulate things in nature. And what I mean by that is they can influence, like, birds and butterflies and feathers or dragonflies to behave erratically near us. Have mm-hmm. either of you encountered anything like that when you're thinking of a loved one that passed?
Well, that, or like on Sophia had a guest on with the Horsefly Chronicles, and around a particular haunting that the team was investigating, there were horseflies that would gather around the time that the energy started to manifest and come about. Is something similar to that?
Yes, it is. So that was an Earthbound ghost, and mm-hmm. So they also have the ability to manipulate or to influence living things. You know, they probably influence horseflies, because those are things that the living find, you know, repulsive or frightening or irritating. But spirits, the ones who have crossed over, will typically influence things that we find beautiful, like birds or butterflies or even dragonflies. So it's all on how the spirit wants to present itself to you. So butterflies are things of beauty. And, you know, actually butterflies have been depicted as like a soul of a person in some instances.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the way spirit would convey things. When my dog Sprite passed in 2013, the day after he passed, he sent a yellow and black butterfly to our backyard. Now, we hadn't seen the yellow, hadn't seen the butterfly all summer, and it was July, and we let our other dogs out, and that butterfly lingered for 20 minutes around our dogs, and they didn't chase it. They didn't do anything with it. And it let me get so close, I took a cell phone picture with it, an up-close cell phone picture of the butterfly, which I put in my book. And then three years later, I was going to work, and a yellow and black butterfly flew by my windshield, and I realized that Sprite had just sent me that butterfly because it was the anniversary of the date he passed.
Oh, wow.
Oh, wow.
So,
definitely.
No such thing as a coincidence when it comes to spirit.
Yeah, it's very cool how they're able to, you know, still try and make us happy even afterwards. I mean, I feel like they're so good at is comforting us and letting us know that they're there for us no matter what.
Absolutely. And they're still guarding us from the other side, as all of your past pets have been doing.
Yeah, also,
it's so great.
When Sophia's great-grandmother passed away, and, you know, my grandmother, of course, we had this lily plant that, you know, from like an Easter, she passed away in the springtime, that we'd been trying to get to grow for like 4 or 5 years and nothing. It just stayed this green plant season after season. And on the day she died, we came back from I came out into the patio, and the lily had totally bloomed. It like opened up and bloomed. And so like at her funeral, you got to place an item in a little compartment in her casket. And I put that lily kind of as a note that like, yeah, that could it be a plant form too, possibly?
Absolutely. Yep. They can manipulate any living thing. It could be plant or animal or insect. Yeah. What a great sign. That's fantastic.
Huh. Wow. And she gave us that plant.
Well, that's how you knew it was from her. So that's how you knew it was a sign from her. That she's
wow.
Okay in spirit. And that was her message, basically. And relative to that, a friend of mine had a dog that passed. And he named his dog Oprah, after Oprah Winfrey. And when mm-hmm. she passed, he had a hydrangea bush out front of his house that had not bloomed for, I think he said, 8 or 9 years. It had never bloomed.
Wow.
But the week after she passed, the first blossom ever on that plant came out in the shape of a heart. And he knew it was from her. And he took a picture, and it's in my first Pets in the Afterlife book. He totally knew that she had sent him that sign, that she was okay on the other side. So she also manipulated flowers, just like your grandmother.
Wow.
Well, that is very cool that, you know, that happened. I was very young when all of that happened, so I don't remember, but it's very amazing that after all these years, my dad can finally, you know, have proof that that's truly what it was, my great-grandmother coming through.
Wow.
So I wanted to ask you both, too, have either of you ever found coins? Because coins are another way that spirit communicates with us.
Yes.
Yeah.
When my grandfather passed away, my mom would always find pennies, and
okay.
so would I. Like,
yeah,
pretty much immediately afterwards, my grandma would find them, my mom, my aunt would find them. So pretty much everyone who surrounded him in life would find, like, pennies afterwards.
Well,
yeah.
That's excellent, because that's a very common way that spirit sends us signs. And what's even what you should pay attention to sometimes, too, is look at the year on the coin, because that may give you a clue as to
mm-hmm.
who their identity is. And the year on the coin could either be the year that they passed, or the year that they were born, or
right.
perhaps the year they were wed or something like that, or the year of your birth even. And I can tell you a quick story about how two spirits used coins to confirm that they had taken our dog Sprite over into the light, if you'd like to hear it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Okay. We had a dog, Sprite, who passed at 16 and a half years old. We actually had to make the decision to help him cross over. When we took him to the vet, he had a tumor in his nose that basically ruptured. I asked my dad, who passed in 2008, and I asked my husband's friend, Ed, who passed in 1996, to be in the room with us and to help Sprite cross over. And so I felt a cold hand on either of my elbows, on both of my elbows, one from my dad and one from Ed. And I saw my little dog Buzz in the light, sitting in the room, waiting for Sprite to cross over. After Sprite passed, when we were walking our other dogs later that day, we found two pennies. One was dated 2008, mm-hmm. the year my dad died. The other was dated 1996, the year that Ed died. So those were confirmations
oh, wow.
from both of them. Yeah, and they were the only two coins that we found that entire dog walk. It's
That's
just mind-blowing.
You know, the other thing is I was going to ask you is the other one was about my father-in-law who were her discussing with the coins. 2 weeks after my wife had verified, he had to take a lot of medication, so there was you would, it wouldn't be every breath, but just one quick breath, you would smell what he smelled like, just as the medications were kind of, you know, exuding from his skin. Or like even after our dog passed away, the old senior dog, a couple weeks later, every once in a while there'd just be one whiff where it would smell like he smelled, like after a bath or something. And it was just, you know, a smell.
Yeah, scents are definitely another common way that spirits will confirm that they're around us and that they're okay. Sometimes we may smell a perfume, or as you said, you smell like a wet dog, or I've heard a number of people have written me and has said that they smelled that after their dog passed away months later, and they sensed their dog was in the house. Someone's cooking, someone's favorite dish that they used to cook, or
right.
The scent of flowers, or a cigar or a cigarette or something like that.
Yeah, Captain Treasure Jones on the Queen Mary smoked cigars, and every once in a while around his area, they get that waft of just a brief cigar smell.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. It's pretty that spirit wants to let us know that they are here, and that's the way they identify themselves.
Wow.
As a medium, though, I will tell you that there's a way that spirit identifies themselves to me that people who are not mediums don't typically experience. And that is, they share with me the pain they experienced just before they passed. So, you know, it's not something that I like, but it's a way of identifying who they are. So, as a paranormal investigator, I've been hit, punched, kicked, stabbed, shot, pushed downstairs. I felt cancer and heart attacks and kidney failure and brain aneurysms and all kinds of things. We're spirit, yeah. So ghosts and spirits help convey those things. And pets have done the same thing with me. Just last night, I was writing an email back to somebody who had written me after reading my Pets in the Afterlife book and said they wanted to know how their dog passed. And I got a stabbing pain in my left side. And I was told that by the dog that it was acute kidney failure. And that's what took their lives. And so I share these things with people who write to me and say they don't know how their pet passed or why their pet passed so suddenly. So that's a clue that our pets and spirit give to help, you know, comfort their parent from the other side.
Definitely. It's so cool. You know, they really are just like man's best friend with all of that, being able to still be around for everything. And I think that's what's so hard about being a pet owner, is not knowing exactly how they feel because they can't communicate. So it's really great when, you know, there is people like you out there who can help kind of tell you what happened to your dog that passed or how your dog's feeling at that point in time.
Right.
Yes. And what I can tell you, one of the most moving stories that I wrote about, was about a pet who passed, with a message for all pet parents. It's in my Pets in the Afterlife 2 book. A woman named Elizabeth had written me a couple of years ago, and she said that she had a Cocker Spaniel who was very young, a puppy. And she said that she had gone out with a friend for dinner and left her husband with the dog. And when she was out at dinner at 8:30, she got a call from her husband saying the dog is crying. He didn't understand why, what was happening. The dog didn't hurt himself or anything. So she came home and she called the emergency vet, and the vet said it could be a sprain, it could be something else. You can just watch the dog for a couple of hours and then bring the dog in, depending on how the condition is. So she opted to do that. Well, 2 hours after she came home, she checked on her puppy, and her puppy had passed away. And she had no idea what had happened to her dog. There were no visible signs that anything had happened to her dog. And her husband said that there was nothing, you know, the dog didn't fall, nothing happened. So she asked me to get in touch with her dog, and I did. And her dog, whose name is Clancy, showed me that he liked to eat plants. And that day, he had eaten a lot of different plants. They were out in the backyard. So he immediately made me feel pain in my stomach after showing me he was eating plants. So I checked the ASPCA website. I sent Elizabeth a link to all poisonous plants to dogs, and I told her that this is what happened. And she checked the list, and she wrote me back, and she said she has a number of those plants in her backyard, and she had no idea they were poisonous.
Wow.
Her dog had eaten poisonous plants. So Clancy's lesson is for all pet parents to be aware that many common houseplants are poisonous to cats and dogs.
Yeah. And my aunt, her dog is still alive, but she had something kind of similar. Her dog actually just one day started losing like mobility in her back legs, and they weren't sure what to do because the doctors couldn't figure out what was wrong. They just didn't know what to do. She was just, her health was declining, and I was very young, so I told her to keep, you know, keep trying. And finally they actually found out what was wrong probably like 2 weeks after like repetitive tests. And she had been bitten by a tick, and I believe she got like Lyme disease from it. So just little things like that in the backyard that you never would suspect would cause such a dramatic change, have such a drastic effect.
Yeah, absolutely. You really have to pay attention to your dog, and you know, especially check them if they've been out in grass, high grass, for ticks, because Lyme disease is really deadly. So that's a great point.
And I know we're coming towards the end of the show, but are there any websites, appearances, book announcements, upcoming interviews, or events that you would like to mention?
Well, I've actually just finished a whole run on events, but I think in Massachusetts, I'm going up to Massachusetts in January to do another fundraiser for an animal shelter in Salem, Massachusetts, home of the Salem witch trials, as a matter of fact.
Right.
Well, that is so cool that you get to go to Salem.
Yeah, well, I actually grew up in Massachusetts, so it's actually like returning home. So I do a lot of events for rescues, animal rescues, but I also do a lot of lectures locally in the Washington D.C. area, which is where I live right now.
Okay.
But I am writing a couple more books, Pets in the Afterlife 3, and I'm writing my. My adventures about encountering ghosts in Ireland and Scotland. That will be another book that I'll be putting out in the next couple of years.
So. Wow.
Well, I really thank you so much for coming. Yeah. I want to thank you so much for coming on today, Rob. It's been amazing talking to you, and thank you for all of your insight on pets and the afterlife.
Well, thank you, Sophia. I really appreciate the opportunity. It's been great talking with you both.
And Rob, this show's open to you anytime. Anytime, any announcements, any events you want to promote. And also, too, I know November 13th coming right up, you have a lecture at the Belmont Manor in Elk Ridge, Maryland, too. So for information, everyone visit belmontmanormd.org. And also, too, of course, robgutro.com. That's robgutro.com. But, Rob, thank you so much today.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure, and I look forward to speaking with you again sometime down the road.
Definitely. We'll talk to you soon.
Definitely. Thank you so much.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Rob. Well, great show today, Sophia.
Definitely. Rob was such a great guest. I want to thank you all for listening today. The show definitely would not be possible without all of you, and I will talk to you guys again next week. Bye.
Yeah, and Karen Lambert, she's in the chat room right now, too, on Live Paranormal. And she's saying hi to you, too, Sophia. So today, again, we had intuitive medium, paranormal researcher, and ghost, pet, psychic, grieving author, Rob Gutro. Everyone, visit robgutro.com. That's robgutro.com. Petspirits.com. That's petspirits.com. Facebook, Rob Gutro, author, medium. Twitter, medium book. That's at ghost medium book. And on YouTube, Rob Gutro, author. Amazon book search by author Rob Gutro. It's the Ghost Host Show with Sophia Temporelli on liveparanormal.com. And also, too, next weekend, we have inventor of the God Box, the Orion device, and the DCT sensor creator, Jeff Boatwright, on the program. That's the 10th. That's next weekend. Also, too, haunted historic colonial Williamsburg, Virginia, part two author. And so we're having him back on to promote book two. Great photo evidentiary book. And it's Tim Scullion will be on the program on November 17th. So you don't want to miss any of these upcoming shows. The Ghost Host Show with Sophia Temporelli on liveparanormal.com. We'll see you next week.
Hi, this is Debbie at Seon Ghost Adventures. You're listening to The Ghost Host with your host, Sophia Temporelli, on liveparanormal.com.
God bless you all.
Thank you for joining us on History FM Radio on liveparanormal.com and history.fm. From paranormal to the unexplained history, it all happens here. Looking to enhance your radio experience? Participate in live interactive chat 24/7 with our radio show hosts and other like-minded people on www.liveparanormal.com. The only interactive social chat room supported by full interactive media. Stop by now and join in on the fun.